Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Happy as always to be along with you, and we're going to start a brand new week of the show, and there is plenty to get into. First off, Travis, on the local sports front, I want to start the show with this, congratulating the Carbondale baseball team on a wildly successful season. This team finishes second in the state. Unfortunately, they had to go through the one-loss bracket and just did not have the pitching to combat Grantsville late. The new pitching restrictions makes it very difficult for anyone to come through the one-loss bracket. But the Dinos were a game opponent. They get all the way back to the state championship game, come up short against Grantsville. But a region championship and a state championship appearance, that's a good year.
Yeah, we knew that once they lost and got to that one-loss bracket that they were going to find a way to get back to
the... We knew that.
Yeah. We knew that they were going to fight back and have a chance, and they gave themselves a chance. But like you said, with the new pitching rules, it really hampers your ability moving forward in that one-loss bracket.
So again, congratulations to the Dinos. A highly successful season. We'll catch up with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus a little bit later on in the week to recap the year. Now let's dive into the national sports headlines. And today, the big story, it affects sports in general. The Supreme Court struck down a federal law that prohibits sports gambling. This is a landmark decision. It gives states the go-ahead to legalize betting on sports. The court ruled 6-3 to strike down the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. Okay, it was a 1992 law that barred state-authorized sports gambling with some exceptions. Nevada was the only state where a person could wager on the results of a single game. States that want to offer legal sports betting may now do so, and New Jersey plans to be the first. Delaware, Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia are among the states expected to quickly get into the legalized bookmaking game as well. The court ruled in favor of New Jersey and against the NCAA, the NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball in capping a nearly six-year legal battle and overturning a federal law that sports leagues had adamantly stood by for more than 20 years. This is a big deal. And again, it's a landmark decision. That's what it is.
It is. And I don't know why states wouldn't want to do this, because the states are always complaining about not having enough money. Well, here you go. This is your chance to add more money into your state. So I think when it's all said and done, we're going to have anywhere from 12 to 15 states that are going to be in on this.
I agree. Governor Chris Christie pointed out that, here's his quote on Twitter today, "A great day for the rights of states and their people to make their own decisions. New Jersey citizens wanted sports gambling, and federal government had no right to tell them no. The Supreme Court agrees with us today, and I am proud to have fought for the rights of the people of New Jersey." Chris Christie, of course, the governor of New Jersey. He's been fighting this all along the way. Back in August of 2012, won every step of the way until June when the Supreme Court decided to take the case. Oral arguments were heard back in December, and the justices ruled 5 months later. So legalized sports gambling, again, it does not affect us here in the state of Utah. Does not affect us here at all, at least at the moment. But this is a very, very big decision. And again, like I said, it's a landmark day when you take a look at sports gambling. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines. This is a little bit odd, but it's not as odd as the headline makes it out to be. Okay, first off, you and I watch a lot of NL baseball.
Yes, we do.
I prefer the NL over the American League. One of the pitchers that I have been so impressed with so far this year, and again, I've been impressed with the Pittsburgh Pirates in general, but Jameson Taillon, he had to leave a game against the Giants last week for cutting open his finger. He split his finger open, had a laceration there. In order to heal that so he doesn't have to miss a start, he says he has been urinating on that cut. He's received suggestions as a possible remedy. He said, quote, If it helps, I'll put a sign-up sheet and everyone can come and pee. That's what he said. I don't care. I just want the cut to go away. So I guess he hasn't peed on the cut yet, but he says if it helps, he would do it. I just have to throw that out there because it's so odd as a sports headline. I have heard of guys in the past urinating on their hand. Moises Alou.
Never used Vladimir Guerrero, too.
Vladimir Guerrero. These guys didn't use batting gloves.
No, they peed on their hands.
They peed on their hands because it would callus over.
Yep.
And that's what Tyone says. If it's going to keep me from, you know, not missing a start, I'll pee on my cut.
Whatever works. Whatever gets you out there. And because Pittsburgh's playing good baseball.
Pittsburgh's playing good baseball. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Tyone has been that good. Now, we will talk about the NBA a little bit later on in the show. Tonight, we have a showdown between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. I'll give you my prediction right now. 5 games, Golden State. I think Houston gets one. I think they get one at home. Golden State will win games 3 and 4. I think it goes back to Golden State, a 1-1 deal. Golden State will close this out in 5. I don't think it gets back to Oracle for game 6. I know the Rockets have home court advantage. Don't care. This Warriors team, they're the best in the NBA. Nobody is going to beat Golden State, and I think they will make quick work of Houston. So as far as the headlines go of this being a dream showdown, it's not, because Houston's not on that level. I know you shouldn't give out absolutes, right? I am telling you right now, Houston will not beat Golden State 4 times. It won't happen. They may take game 1, they may take game 2. They will not beat Golden State 4 times in a 7-game set. Barring a massive injury, and I'm talking about an injury to Kevin Durant and a massive injury to Draymond Green, I think Golden State could beat Houston without Steph Curry. They defensively, Golden State is too good. We don't focus on this team defensively enough. You got the 2 best defenders in this series are on Golden State. I'm talking about Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. They're going to win the series handily. I'm not as excited about this series as a lot of people are because I think it's going to be a massive letdown. Golden State's going to win the series in a landslide.
It looks good on paper, but it's not. It's
it does look good on paper,
it's a
yeah.
bad matchup for Houston and the Warriors. Houston's been talking a lot of crap to the Warriors, saying that they're the better team and all that, and I think tonight you're going to see Golden State's going to go in there, and they're going to put their foot down right early in this series, and yeah, it's a 5-game series. It's not going to be close.
If it goes 6, I'll be surprised.
Me too.
If it goes 7, I will be stunned.
I'll be shocked.
Yes.
But Golden State's going to make quick work. They know what's ahead
of them. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And we can talk about the other conference battle. We had Cleveland getting shellacked by Boston in game 1. Look, I still think Cleveland may win this series.
I think it's Cleveland in 7.
Yeah, I could buy that. I mean, if it goes 7, Cleveland's going to have to get a win on the road. But at the same time, they have the best player in this series. I'll tell you, Boston looked good in game 1.
Cleveland's not good. Cleveland doesn't have very good players. They can coast through the Eastern Conference. Those players that they traded for are not very good players.
I agree. I agree with you there. I do believe that sometimes media fans, we sensationalize things a little bit. Look, I know that Boston dominated Cleveland.
But I'm not even worried about Cleveland losing the series. I'm not.
They could lose the series, but it's not going to be. Look, if Boston blows Cleveland out in game 2, then okay.
Then I'm going to say, all right, Cleveland's done, because I don't think they can beat Boston 4 out of 5.
Look, LeBron James is a guy that when the cards are, this guy's been great. Look, after following a game 1 loss, look at what happened in the Indiana series. Now, I think that Indiana made a lot of dumb mistakes that I don't think Boston is going to make. And I do want to point this out. If you didn't watch that game, watch Boston in game 2 and just marvel at the way this team is playing, because look, I get it. The Utah Jazz play team basketball. Okay, and Jazz fans love that about the Jazz, right? Okay, and that rightfully so. This Celtics team is doing this without their 2 biggest stars in Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. I've never seen anything like it. But when you talk about fundamental, high IQ team basketball, that spells Boston at this particular time of the series. I believe that that series will be more entertaining than Golden State and Houston.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that Boston-Cleveland is a 7-game series.
I can buy that.
And what Brad Stevens is doing is incredible, and how that guy didn't get 1 vote for Coach of the Year is ridiculous.
That's a joke. I will also point this out. If we're talking about Cleveland and Boston in comparison to Golden State and Houston, that it's a more entertaining series, and it also, whoever wins out of the East, they're not going to beat Golden State anyway.
No. Doesn't matter. It's probably, if it's Cleveland, it's probably 5 games. If it's Celtics, I think the Warriors sweep them.
You think so? I think Boston has a better chance of stealing a game or two from Golden State.
It's 5 games probably either way. I don't think it's close.
But it's fun basketball. I mean, the Celtics, you have to appreciate.
I like watching them play.
Yeah, you have to appreciate what this team has accomplished. More NBA basketball talk coming up in just a bit. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in Major League Baseball. One final earlier today. The Atlanta Braves defeat the Chicago Cubs 6-5. The Braves have the best record in the National League. A.J. Minter gets a save for the Braves on the hill. They secure a two-run lead. They give up one in the ninth, but they still get a win over the Cubs. Looking at the Braves front to back, a team that is so much fun to watch, that is so young. You and I have talked about Ozzie Albies. The kid's batting .277 today, has a solo shot home run in the opening inning, and the Braves never look back. One of the youngest, most exciting teams in the bigs. You add Jose Bautista, you get a little bit of that that veteran leadership, a guy that's been around for a while. Ronald Acuña is a can't-miss prospect, although he's only batting .260. That kid is going to be special. You got Markakis, you have Freeman. I'm telling you, the right now, the Braves are the most entertaining team in Major League Baseball to watch.
Yeah, they are a year ahead of schedule. Or
maybe even 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years ahead of schedule on where they should be, but a lot of young talent. They stripped it down a couple of years ago and built it up the right way. So good for the Braves. I like watching the Braves play too.
Most entertaining team in baseball right now, hands down. 5 o'clock hour tonight, we get Tampa at Kansas City. The Tigers will play host to the Indians. We get the A's at the Red Sox. The Twins will welcome in the Mariners. 7:40 tonight, it's the Brewers and the Diamondbacks. Patrick Corbin is on the mound for Arizona. 4-0 so far this year with a 2.1 ERA. I think we've said this multiple times. Front runner for the Cy Young of the National League.
Yes, he is.
Right now, yes, absolutely. Can he maintain that? I don't know, but so far, that guy has just been outstanding. 8 o'clock hour tonight, a fun one between the Astros and the Angels. Andrew Heaney will be on the hill for the Angels. Lance McCullers will take the ball for the Astros. McCullers is 5-1 so far this year. He's been great for the World Series champs. 8-10, we get the Rockies and the Padres, and then also the Reds and the Giants. The Reds are playing good baseball. They completed a four-game sweep of the Dodgers yesterday. First time since 1976 that that's happened.
Yeah, and for the Dodgers, their worst start since, what, 1956, I believe.
58,
so yeah. Tough times, but I think LA can turn it around. I'm not worried about the Dodgers because they can go out and make some moves for the Reds. They're just the Reds. They still stink.
Justin Turner will be back for the Dodgers tomorrow, as will Logan Forsythe. So things, I guess, are looking up for
and,
the Dodgers a little bit. I don't know.
Diamondbacks got swept by the Nat, so the NL West isn't really that great of a division.
No, it's not. The entire division has played bad baseball up to this point.
Yeah, so that helps the Dodgers. The Dodgers are fine. Not worried about the Dodgers.
Let's break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports straight ahead, a local sports recap. Plus, I'm going to be joined by Wade Allinson. We're going to talk about the San Rafael Classic Triathlon. This is a tradition here in the local area. We're going to break for a moment, but again, more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the high school baseball season came to a close on Saturday. For the Carbon Dinos, they ended as the runner-up in the 3A state championship tournament, falling to Grantsville 12-4 in the 3A state championship contest. Carbon entered the game needing to beat Grantsville not once but twice because of the true double elimination format of the tournament. Now, the Dinos suffered a loss to Grantsville in the quarterfinals, but worked their way back through the one-loss bracket after defeating Union 8-7 in a come-from-behind effort, and then blasting Richfield 18-4, and then beating Manti 14-6. Unfortunately, by the time the Dinos got back to Grantsville, pitching was very spare. Carbon finished the contest with 11 hits, but only plated 4 runs. They fell behind 6-0 in the first inning and never recovered. Ty Anderson logged a triple for Carbon in the setback. Nate Olson was charged with the loss on the hill. Now, despite the loss in the state championship, it was a stellar year for the Carbon High School baseball team. They claimed the Region 14 championship after finishing 9-1 in region play and only suffered 5 losses to 3A competition throughout the year. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will talk more Carbon High School baseball in the coming days as we put the final touches on the 2018 season. Now, while the baseball season is complete, the softball season will resume later this week on Friday. Originally scheduled for weekend play, rain delayed the 3A state championship tournament. The Carbon Lady Dinos have still yet to record a loss. They're in the quarterfinals against the Union Cougars, just 2 wins away from qualifying for the state championship. Union and Carbon will go toe-to-toe on Friday at 2 p.m. The winner of that game will meet Grantsville or Manti in the semifinals. A loss for Carbon would send them down to the one-loss bracket, where the Lady Dinos would go up against Grand in a winner-go-home situation. Again, stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll talk more softball throughout the week. We stick with the Diamond, but we move over to junior college athletics, and the season came to an end for both the USU Eastern baseball and softball team. We begin with the men's baseball squad, opening up the Scenic West Athletic Conference Championship Tournament with a 4-2 loss to Colorado Northwestern on Wednesday. The men's baseball team battled back to defeat Colorado in a rematch on Thursday 4-3. That win put USU Eastern into Friday's action, where they came up just short in a 5-3 loss to Salt Lake Community College, ultimately ending the season. Salt Lake managed to beat the College of Southern Nevada in their next contest, which put them in the conference championship game against CSI, and the College of Southern Idaho came out conference champs with a 7-5 victory. Now, as far as softball goes, the USU Eastern Lady Eagles suffered a loss in their first game to Southern Nevada 5-3. That was on Wednesday. And the season came to a close for USU Eastern as they were shut out by Snow College on Thursday 6-0. We'll catch up with both Coach Brittany Richens of the softball squad and Coach Scott Madsen of the baseball team to recap what was a very exciting year for USU Eastern sports. And we end by moving over to American Legion Baseball. The Price American Legion baseball team will play host to a lasagna dinner fundraiser to help fund the upcoming season. That'll be Wednesday, May 16th, at the Carbon County Events Center. And the lasagna dinner will be prepared at 6 p.m. Sam Farlano will be cooking, and it will also come with the traditional sides to complete the meal. The cost to eat will be $10 for adults and $6 for children 12 and under. Again, this year, the Price American Legion squad is led by Coach Willie Ellington. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... Say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Let's talk local sports and a fun event that is coming up in July, about 2 months from today. It's the annual San Rafael Classic Triathlon. Very fun event. All the money raised in this event goes to the Emory County Search and Rescue. And we're going to talk about that and more right now with Wade Allenson, who is Lieutenant of the Emory County Search and Rescue. Wade, great to hear from you. Great to get you back on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jordan.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the San Rafael Triathlon. Again, this is a very big annual event. You guys have ran this now for over a decade, and it just seems like every year when we talk to you, Wade, it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and it's really a great event. It's an exciting time. It motivates a lot of people in the county to get out and, you know, get the winter behind us and get out and start. It gives people a goal to work towards some exercising.
Definitely, definitely. And the best part of all, not only can you have fun exercising with your family, but at the same time, it's going to serve as the biggest fundraiser for the Emory County Search and Rescue. And of course, you're the lieutenant of the Emory County Search and Rescue. So this is a very big deal. And I want you to go ahead and explain the fundraiser, where that money goes and why it's so important, Wade.
Well, Emory County Search and Rescue, we're a very busy team. We had over 100 search and rescue calls last year, and you know that makes to about one every 3 days. Sometimes we had two or three a week, and you know they're very expensive with all the equipment we have to have and ropes and very specialized equipment to make some of these rescues happen. And this fundraiser plays a key part in the team responding out there to help people that are in crisis and need. And they range from everywhere. We've taken people out with, you know, broken legs, and we've actually had to do some recoveries last year of people that had some tragic events in their lives. But this is a really big deal for us as a fundraiser.
And when we talk about it being the biggest fundraiser of the year, I mean, you guys are going to rely, obviously, heavily on what you accumulate during this event.
We are. Yep. That's why we're kind of pushing it so we get a good turnout. And we have some good sponsors that support us over the years, and that's been very helpful as well.
Well, you guys do a great job of making this a weekend event. We can talk about the festivities on Friday, so you're going to have early registration and the packet pickup. But one of the things that I've heard a lot of people really rant and rave about is the pasta dinner that you guys have the night before. You can kind of carbo load with some pasta.
Yeah, that's all part of the entry fee. And then when you bring your families, we will sell meal tickets for your family members too. So, you know, that's kind of fun. So even if you're not coming over to camp at the state park, if you're just coming over Friday night to sign up, you can get your sign-ups done early, and you can take the family out for dinner and eat on the banks of the lake there. And it's really a great setting to have dinner with your family.
And again, this is going to be taking place Friday, July 13th and 14th. So the weather typically cooperates, I would assume, this time of the year.
Yeah, generally we don't have any weather problems. I can't recall of any big issues we've ever had with weather. Matter of fact, it's a great time of year to get in the water. The water is, it warms up in July quite well, although in the morning it's still a little cool, but still it's a great time to be in the water.
Well, let's talk about everything that's going to go down on Saturday, July 14th. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I like most about this event, Wade, is you guys have figured out how to have something for literally everyone in the family, no matter what age.
Yeah, that's something that's very, we have a couple of unique things about this triathlon that's very, very unique just to Emory County. One is, the first thing is it's a closed course event, meaning the lake is shut down, the road is shut down, so the only people in these different disciplines is going to be competitors. Where if you go to a lot of the triathlons up north and the more populated areas, you know, the athletes are sharing the road with other cars, and the bicyclists are sharing the road. So we don't have to. The athletes don't have to worry about dodging cars, don't have to worry about other boats in the lake. It's very, very unique that we have that opportunity. The second thing that's very unique is we offer a kids triathlon, and we're one of the only ones in the state. It's a very abbreviated triathlon for younger kids. You can view pretty much the entire event right from the park, and the kids just love it. They really have a great time. Lots and lots of smiles on the kids. It's a great confidence builder for them, too.
Let's talk about some of the events that are offered, because the kids' triathlon is a little bit different than the adult triathlon, right?
Right. In the adults, we'll do both. We have Olympic men and Olympic women, and they usually start first on the swim. And then we have sprint women and sprint men will go right after them. And it just depends on what you want to do. For instance, the sprint swim is a half mile, where the Olympic swim is 1 mile. And the bike sprint will be just about 15 and a half miles, and the Olympics is 31 miles. And then the run for the sprint is 2.9 miles, and the Olympics is 5.8 miles. And what we started last year, we're going to carry on this year, is every finisher will get a really nice medallion. And then also, too, we're going to have some challenge coins that we're going to give the sheriff. Greg Funk is competing in the event, and we're going to give him a head start. And whoever catches him throughout the event, we're going to give them a very unique challenge coin that they basically beat the sheriff. So that's going to make it kind of fun this year for competitors to have something kind of unique like that.
No doubt. I mean, you guys have definitely figured everything out. Wade, as far as your involvement in the event goes, I mean, when we talk about the adult triathlon, a swim, a bike, a run, boy, that's you have to trade if you want to be competitive in this. But you guys just don't reach out or relate to those who are hardcore into triathlons. There are a lot of people that just like to complete it. I mean, they're really not competing to win it. They just want to go out and have a good time.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people in Emory County that are just going out to have a good time and to finish. We will have some that will show up that are going to be very competitive. They're going to be in your top 10 or 15. But for, you know, a majority of the people, they kind of fall right in the middle. You know, we'll have a lot of first-timers there. We'll have a lot of people that, you know, like me, that's have never done one or are going to try to do one, or they've done one and two in the past. And it's just a really good event for you if you want to try one for the first time, or if you just want to try one without a lot of pressure underneath your belt. Because like I said, being a closed course competition, you really get to focus on yourself.
Right.
You get to focus on finishing.
Yeah. Well, you guys also have a terrific website for this as well, Wade, which gives you all the information. It also gives you some tips. I know I was surfing around on there earlier today, and I could find everything between camping sites to lodging in hotels to recommendations with wetsuits and water aid stations. I mean, you guys have it pretty much covered on the website.
We do. We do. If you go to the, that's how you'll sign up, is on, it's www.sanrafaelclassic.com. And you can go there, you can sign up online, and we have our schedule of events. And if you can't make it Friday night, we're there early Saturday morning to register. And, you know, we would love to have you pre-register, because that will guarantee you a shirt. And but if you don't get pre-registered and you say, you know what, I want to try this, you're more than welcome day of to come on in, and we'll sign you up and get you plugged into the event.
Again, Wade Allinson joining us right now, the lieutenant with the Emery County Search and Rescue, as we talk about the San Rafael Classic Triathlon, which is going down Friday, July 13th and Saturday, July 14th. And Wade, I think, again, the most important aspect of this whole thing is the money will benefit the Emery County Search and Rescue, and you guys are one of the busiest search and rescues in the state of Utah. So, I mean, the money is going to, it's going to go to a great and very needy cause, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, we utilize a lot of the Utah Highway Patrol public safety helicopter, and we were informed a few months ago that the Emery County Search and Rescue team is the second highest use of that chopper in the state. The only area that uses it that more than us is the Salt Lake County Search and Rescue. So it just tells you how busy we are with our rescue operations.
Wade, before I let you go, please give us all the information that one would need to register for the San Rafael Classic Triathlon.
Okay, great. If you go to our website at www.sanrafaelclassic.com, you can jump on there, and there's a sign-up form there, and you can do it all online. Or you can come Friday night, and we'll start sign-ups at 6 o'clock. And you can come and sign up there the day of. We'd really like you to sign up pre-register, but if you can't, that's fine too. I know some people are kind of looking at their schedules. And generally right up to about 7 days prior to the event, we can, if you register that time period, we can give you a T-shirt. And then, of course, Saturday morning from 5 o'clock to 6 a.m., you can come by and register as well. And then racing starts 6:30 a.m., generally, the whole event's done by 11, 12 o'clock. Everything's all done. So,
definitely going to be a fun event. And for those who want to watch, I mean, you're going to be amazed at some of the athletes that you see, even if you just want to watch the event.
Yeah. You know, what's cool about this venue, too, is being at the Huntington State Park. Number one, the State Parks is just a great great co-sponsor of us with this. They've been very good to us. But you can sit there and you can watch the whole swim. In a lake, and it's not in a pool where a lot of triathlons have them in pool, and I call it combat swimming because there's just elbows everywhere, but it's spread out, there's lots of room, you get to watch the whole swim, and then you can also watch just about all of the run, because the run goes around the lake, so it's a very spectator-friendly event. And then with your family there's a lawn for the kids to play on. They can, you know, a lot of times the family will rent the paddle boards and the kayaks there. And so there's really a lot to do right there while the triathlon's going on for the family.
Wade, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us. Hopefully we can catch up again with you as it gets a little bit closer, since we're still about 2 months out. But never too early to start thinking about participating in a triathlon. So I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan.
Definitely our pleasure. That's Wade Allinson again talking about the San Rafael Classic Triathlon. Registration is open. Mark your calendars July 13th and 14th. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll move over, talk NBA basketball. Tonight, we get a preview of the Rockets and the Warriors. Plus, should you be worried if you're a Cavs fan? Celtics-Cavs, blowout in Game 1. We'll talk more about that when we return. It's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, Monday edition of the show. We're going to talk NBA basketball. Now that the Final Four is set and we're ready to go, we have action already. And again, yesterday, Boston taking it to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tonight, Warriors-Rockets Game 1. Here's a fun, rather abstract conversation. And I think you could probably ask 10 people this question and you may get 10 different answers. I'm going to start with you, and I'll give you mine after. Which individual player remaining in the playoffs has the most pressure going into the Eastern or Western Conference Finals? Does that make sense? So what individual is going to be under scrutiny? Which individual are we going to be watching so close? And I hate the legacy talk.
Yep.
But let's be honest, legacies are built in the playoffs, right? That's how legacies are actually determined.
And that's where I'm going to start my argument. I'm going with LeBron James because we talk about this guy's legacy, and if he's up there with Michael Jordan, who's better? I mean, that talk goes on and
on. I hate
on.
That talk.
And so I'm going with LeBron James has the most pressure because if he can't get this Cavs team past this Celtics team, his legacy is going to take a hit, and then we're going to have the questions of where's this guy going to go? Philadelphia, Houston, the Lakers. So I'm going LeBron. I think he has the most pressure on him heading into this Eastern Conference final.
That's fair. And I don't know if the history books will actually portray this message, but let's be factual here for a second. LeBron has won 3 NBA championships.
Yes.
In all 3 of his championships, he has had at least 2 other players go to the All-Star game that same year. In all 3 of them. Okay, when he was with Miami, Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, they were All-Stars for both NBA championships. When they beat Golden State, which was remarkable because Golden State was the better team, nobody can convince me otherwise, LeBron carried the Cavs back from a 3-1 deficit. I believe it was a 3-1 deficit, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Game 5 is the one where Draymond got suspended.
Right. But even that year, he had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And Kevin
Kyrie
Love,
hit the shot.
Kyrie's the one that hit the shot. He closed it out. Kevin Love was that much better 2 years ago than he is today. And I think the Cavaliers were a better team in general 2 years ago. But the fact remains that LeBron is yet to win an NBA championship without 2 other All-Stars on his team. Fair or not, that's legitimate. And that's not something that can be debated.
Those are facts.
That's a fact. Okay, we can sit here and talk about Michael Jordan and what Jordan had. I know that that's a popular debate right now, who's better, LeBron or Jordan. Come on, let's be real. The fact of the matter is, Michael Jordan had one other All-Star on his team when the Chicago Bulls beat the Utah Jazz not once but twice in 2 years. They had one other All-Star.
Yeah, he had broken back Pippen.
Pippen was completely banged up that second go-around against the Jazz. You could talk about Kobe Bryant. Kobe won an NBA won 3 NBA championships with Shaq. At that particular time, there were 2 All-Stars on that team, Shaq and Kobe.
That's it.
That's it. Okay, we could talk about the Boston Celtics. Kevin Garnett won 1 NBA championship. He won it with 2 other All-Stars. And again, I don't know that history is actually going to be that harsh on LeBron because LeBron is one of the top 6 greatest players of all time. I have no problem putting him top 6 right now. But I understand where you're going with that argument, based on the fact that he has had a lot of help in winning his NBA titles. A lot of help. I can appreciate the fact that he beat Golden State before Kevin Durant came. I can appreciate that. When I go back and I look at the teams that he lost to in the finals, again,
should have beat Dallas.
Should have beat Dallas. Probably should have beat San Antonio.
And they got bailed out by Ray Allen 3, so
I agree with you. I think I agree. I agree with where you're coming from now. I don't believe he has the most pressure, but I understand where you're coming from here. Legacy talk stinks. Again, I hate it. But let's be real. If LeBron was to end with 3 NBA championships, and I think the Dodgers in baseball are proving a point right now, there's no guarantee that you ever get back. So
no.
If he does, in fact, make a leap to the Western Conference, and it's not Houston that he's joining, there's no guarantee that we ever see LeBron in the finals again. There's not. And especially if he stays in the East and re-ups with Cleveland because Philadelphia is getting better.
The Celtics are getting better.
The Celtics are going to be much better next year when they have Kyrie.
Milwaukee's
going to
get a good
Hayward.
Coach, and they'll be better.
Milwaukee, I agree with you on Milwaukee. I think there's talent in Indiana. They're only going to get better. They are going to look like a plausible destination for free agencies. So I see where you're coming from. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on LeBron to win this year.
Yeah, because if LeBron sticks with three, it's a disappointment. With how many times that guy's made the finals in a row to only have three championship rings, that's a disappointment, and that should take a hit to his legacy. It really should. So I think that's why the most pressure is to him to get to the finals and give himself another chance to win a championship.
Which, again, even if they get there,
they're not going to.
I don't think they're going to beat Golden State. But no, I get that. And look, LeBron has been historically good this postseason. I mean, historically good. But look, when you label yourself the chosen one and the king, you add that pressure to your own legacy,
yeah.
Right? So, again, I can buy that. I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to say the guy with the most pressure is Chris Paul if we're talking legacy. Because Chris Paul, to me, you know how much I enjoy Chris Paul. This is a guy that I'm willing to put top four point guards of all time. Top five, definitely. I think it's debatable you could put him top four all time, and his career's not even done. Chris Paul has not been great in the postseason.
No, he hasn't.
And he played, again, we want to talk All-Stars, he played with All-Star talent in L.A.
He did.
And multiple times this team bombed out in the playoffs. Be it injuries, whatever, Chris Paul hasn't necessarily had the best team playoff success. If you take a look at his playoff numbers, they haven't been bad at all. For his career, he's played in 86 postseason games. He's shooting 48% from the field, 38% from deep, averaging 21.5 points per game. And then you take a look at what he's doing assist-wise, 9.1 assists, 2.2 steals. Look, this guy's floating around a double-double in the postseason. I know that he gets a bad rap in the postseason because his teams have not had success. This is as far as he has ever gone in the postseason.
Well, a 3-1 lead, right, against the Rockets?
Right. Know?
So, a couple times with the Hornets. I mean, you didn't really take the Hornets serious, but
I think one year they went in as a 2 seed, the year that he and Kobe were competing for the MVP, if I remember
right.
They
got bounced, yeah.
But nobody ever considered them a legitimate
threat.
And those
Clipper teams, everybody was pegging. The Clippers are the new talk of LA. The Clippers are going to make a run to the finals, yada, yada, yada.
They never did.
Never transpired.
They never did. They were getting beat by the Spurs. They were getting beat by the Rockets. They were being tested by Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis took them 7, didn't they?
The Jazz beat them last year. So when you look at the history of team success in the post season. And again, I hate legacy talk, but I understand it when you're separating the greats. Okay, because a legitimate argument, if you're going to have the stupid conversation of LeBron and Michael, a legitimate conversation is Jordan's got 6 rings. Like, that's legitimate. You know, in comparison to like Karl Malone and Tim Duncan, both tremendous players, what sets those two apart? Championships,
yeah.
That's what sets those two apart. So, championships are not the end-all be-all. But I think when you're talking legacy or you're talking career of certain players, you can use it as a tiebreaker.
Yeah, they play a part.
They do. And Chris Paul, for as great as this guy is, and again, I have no problem putting him top 5 point guard of all time in the NBA. He's been that productive. And if you don't think he has, all you got to do is look at what he has accomplished statistically. Look at the advanced stats of Chris Paul. He's been very, very good over the course of his entire career. Okay, he is what you want in a point guard. Multiple times during his career, he has averaged a double-double based off points and assists. That's a true point guard, right? I hear the term true point guard in the state of Utah a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a true point guard. This guy's getting it done in every possible category, but his team has not had the success. I know if you're talking about the Rockets, James Harden is the MVP. He's probably the best player on the team, but Chris Paul, who has done this for an extreme, 13 years he's been in the league now, and he's never gotten to the conference finals, and we're talking about one of the top 5 or 6 point guards of all time, it's important for his legacy that the Rockets at least have a good showing against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, you
specifically him.
Can't get blown out. Can't get swept. So you have to play well. You have to compete. No, I don't think they're going to win, but at least show up, man, because for Chris Paul, yeah, his legacy's took a hit too.
James Harden has more time than Chris Paul has.
Yeah, Chris Paul has probably 4 or 5 more years.
At the most.
Yeah, at most.
Because he has been plagued with injuries. When I look at Boston, they're playing with house money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're 2 big moves in the offseason, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. They're not even playing right now. That's a team that's playing with house money. There's no pressure on any individual on that team. Terry Rozier has been outstanding. Al Horford has been one of the most underappreciated bigs in the NBA for the last 10 years. And Horford is silencing critics. I think he's finally starting to get the recognition that he has deserved because he has played on lesser teams. Remember, he played in Atlanta, okay, and he had taken the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They were a one seed the one year.
Exactly, with Al Horford. That's what I'm saying. This guy has been undervalued for the better part of a decade in the NBA. There's no pressure on anyone in Boston. I agree with you and LeBron. I think a lot of the pressure that's attached to LeBron in the postseason, it's off his own actions. Okay, when you parade around and you make personal claims, yeah, the atmosphere and the temperature, it's amplified on you. So I agree with you there. As far as Golden State goes, there's no pressure on anyone on Golden State.
And there was last year with Kevin Durant.
Maybe, maybe.
So, and that's gone now that he won one.
But here's why there's no pressure on anyone in Golden State. Because if Steph Curry has an off night on games one and two, odds are that point production is being picked up by Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant.
Yeah, there's no pressure.
No, and if we talk Thompson, Curry, and Durant, those three do not have to guard the best player on the opposing team because they have the defensive player of the year in Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pressure on anyone on that team.
Takes everything away defensively where they can focus offensively. So, yeah. Warriors are...
They're fine. There's no pressure on anyone there. Kevin Durant, his legacy, he could win 2, 3, 4. He could win 5 championships. Kevin Durant is always going to be remembered for bolting on OKC. And you say, well, wait a second. LeBron did the same thing in Cleveland, but LeBron went back to Cleveland. Okay,
and won them,
and won again. So to me, Kevin Durant's already tarnished that aspect when you look back on it. And it's just more of a I don't know. It's different in Golden State. You have so many other people that can pick up the pieces, legacy wise. LeBron and Chris Paul. To me, I think those are the two individuals, not team individuals. Now the Warriors as a team may have more pressure on them based on the fact that they have assembled 4 All-Stars in their starting lineup. Individual. For legacy, it's Chris Paul and LeBron James.
Yep, I agree with you with Chris Paul.
We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll come back and put the final touches on this Monday edition of the show.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back for one more segment, last couple of minutes rather. On this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Got to thank Wade Allinson for taking out the time. Have you ever done a triathlon?
No.
Think you could?
No.
I don't, not right now.
Not right now, no.
Maybe next year I would like to do it. A lot of fun. Make sure you get out to the event again. Even as a spectator, you will be thoroughly entertained. Starting tomorrow, moving through the week, we're going to start doing our season recaps on the local sports front as well. The baseball season, it is done for both high school and JUCO. USU Eastern season came to a close, of course, over the weekend. We're going to start talking to Coach Madsen, Coach Smith, and Coach Cincinnatus. We're going to get you season recaps on all the baseball teams. Softball, much the same. Coach Brittany Richens is scheduled to join us this week to talk some USU Eastern softball. And then on Friday, Coach Sean Bell of Emory High School will give us his recap as well. So the season wrap-up interviews will begin shortly. Do not forget, though, that the softball season rather is not over yet for Carbon. They will return to the field on Friday. Rain outs, prolong the 3A softball season. So Carbon still yet to lose on the softball side of things. I know baseball kind of overtook everything over the weekend. Lady Dinos have played lights out over the last month or so. And so we'll keep you updated on that field as well. Outside of that, I mean, the high school sports season is almost done. By the time we get to next Monday's Drive Time Sports Show, high school sports season is finished for 2017-2018, and then we'll start talking about Legion Baseball, which is right around the corner. It goes by in a hurry.
It does, and before you know it, we'll be breaking down football.
Yeah, it's almost football season. We're not that far off from it. So a lot of great stuff coming up on the local sports front this week. Again, I want to thank Wade Allinson for taking out the time. We'll do it again tomorrow. Same time, same place. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.